Open your Bibles to Psalm 107, if you would, please. 107th Psalm. He's going to help me preach. Could you all help me preach today? You need to draw on your anointing. Come on, you have a big part to play in how the service is. Hey, buddy. Doesn't bother me in the least. I love little kids that express themselves. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 15, I'm not minimizing the whole chapter by skipping some verses, but I want to get to a place here today. Verse 15, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness." We could just say this all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long, and not exhaust the goodness of God. He's a good, good God. Verse 31 repeats it again. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let Him exalt Him also in the assembly of the people." That's what we've done here this morning so far. We've exalted Him. We've glorified Him. We've praised Him, given Him honor. We've received from Him. How many received healing this morning? Just slip up your hand. Oh, look at the hands. We can create an atmosphere that makes it so easy to receive from God. The enemy, whom we've been delivered out of the hands of, wants to make it difficult, make it hard. You got to have so much faith that you got to be in the Word 24/7 for 6 years, and then maybe hope you might get something. No. You come to the Lord with childlike faith and receive in your time of need. Amen. Psalm 118. We're in the neighborhood. Let's just flip over there. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." I said earlier at the opening of the service that I will be known as somebody that has told the world that we have a good God. And I could talk to you all day and all night long about His goodness, share with you the miracles, the testimonies, the goodness, and how He's touched my life. I mean, I'm just a nobody that He took, and I'm just still amazed that He can use me. But it's because I was willing, and I said yes. That's all. Anybody in here, anybody under the sound of my voice, if you say yes to God, you're in for an adventure. Because He wants to use you. He wants to put you in the place that He's created for you. Now, He might not have created you to pastor a church, but He might have created you to be a chef. But that's your ministry. That's where your sweet spot is. Steve back here, same thing. It's where your sweet spot is. That's where God comes in and He makes you look good. The Holy Ghost will make you look good. You know, to God, you do look good. We've got to reprogram our mind and see ourselves personally the way God sees us, as gems, as diamonds, as very valuable, because every one of us is valuable and important to God. The assignment He's got on your life, nobody else on this planet can fulfill it. Only you can. That's awesome. And so when you find out what it is, you might kind of go, ugh. But you know what? Stick with God. He's gonna refine you. He's gonna make you look good. He's gonna polish you up. You know, you might have come out of the dredges of the gutter, but He's gonna shine you up. And some people can be dressed up real, look real good from where they used to be. I know one I'm thinking of right now. He was a murderer in Concord prison for life. For life. I'm going to have him come and give his testimony. He's not in prison no more. He got born again in prison, and they pardoned him and let him out, and he's serving God now. He's been here before. He's been to some of our services. And he loves to share his testimony. Amen. That's just one. I can think of lots. I mean, you think about yourself a few years back. You probably needed some help. We all did. And God has cleaned us up and he has made the way. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. There's a scripture, and I can't think of the address, that says, be not ignorant of the enemy's devices. Could somebody find that for me? Is it in Corinthians? Be not ignorant. Somebody's got electronic. You can look it up real quick and find it. I don't have mine here. Be not ignorant of the enemy's devices, of the devil's devices. We just read how good God is. Say again? 2 Corinthians 2:11. Don't be ignorant. Could we put that up at some point here? Don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. What would one of the enemy's devices be when we just read how good God is? He wants to lie to us and tell us God's not good. And he wants to lie to us and tell us that it's a hard way, that being a Christian is hard. Well, it might be that the world is observing some Christians and it looks hard. But that's not God. That's because they just haven't got to the place where their mind's been renewed and they've entered into the rest. God wants us to enter into the rest so that we can reflect him. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. Those are the attributes of God himself. And they've been put inside of the born-again spirit. And we need to reflect them. So how do you reflect love? You love. How do you reflect kindness? You're kind. It's really a no-brainer. See, God doesn't make things difficult. If you want kindness in your life, you be kind. Oh, well, you don't know what they did to me. I'm not talking to them. That's not what God says. Imagine if he said, well, you're just doing wrong. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. How awful would that be if we never heard from God again? But yet, you know, our carnal flesh wants to just, well, you don't know how I've been wronged. You don't know how unfair they were. On and on and on. I was brought up in a, you know, abusive home, a dysfunctional home. Most people were in a dysfunctional home. You know why? Because a man and a woman comes together, they have kids, and by the time they've got their third one, they're still figuring out how the kids show up. And then they don't know what to do with them because there's no manual that comes with them. And they're saying, dear God, I mean, I remember, I've said it before, my second one did not respond the way my first one did. And then I had a third one, and I stopped after that because I said, I can't do this no more. I'm having to relearn how to raise kids. And I wanted to get on with the fun stuff in life. No, my kids are a blessing. I love my kids. I've been there in the thick and thin. Been there when they were, you know, when the enemy was trying to take them out. And I had to stand in the gap at Laconia Hospital and declare, they'll live and not die. When nobody else knew what was going on. And so I know I've been there. But God is a good, good God. And the enemy wants you to be blinded of that. The enemy wants you to, he wants you to get over in his domain. Even as believers, he wants to get you over into his domain and you listen to him. Because that's what gives him power in your life to use against you. And so you don't want that. You don't want that. So I said all that to get to where we're going. And just remember this. God is a good, good God. But the enemy has been at work for a long time to try to mess this up. Mess people up. Most of the tribulation, most of the trials that we go through are man-caused. A lot of times family caused, a lot of time relationship caused, that we go through things and it's because people are, you know, operating not as the way God wants them to operate. And so it causes us grief and it causes us all sorts of things. You know, just look at this drug thing that's going on. You know, every one of those young men and women that are on hooked on heroin, they have a mom and a dad that love them, that never wanted them to go down that road. And I've talked to heroin addicts, and they don't want to go down that road. But when you're addicted, you're addicted. And you just go out of your mind, so to speak, to get that next thing that's going to stop all of that from harming you. Because I talked to one person, and they said, it's not that you do heroin that you want to do it to make you feel good. You do it again and again because you don't want to feel how bad it is. It's torturous to come off it in the natural. It's like having the worst flu you ever had 100 times over. If you can imagine that. Every bit of your body is in pain and aching and vomiting, and it's horrible. So the heroin, your body's craving that. When you get that in your body, it stops that. But we've seen right here, standing right here, I saw four people instantly delivered from heroin. Instantly. Went back and sat back here right about where Jay is sitting. And your sister was sitting right behind them. And I talked to her after that service. And she said the guy was saying he had never felt so good in his life as when the Holy Spirit came upon him and delivered him from that heroin. Real testimonies. But we still have an enemy that's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does that largely by deception. How many have heard that it's greener on the other side? It's not. You need to stay home and water your own grass. And pull the weeds. Thank you. You don't need to go coveting your neighbor's green grass. Now, sometimes I've been tempted to because my neighbor's lawn looks better than mine. But he's out there 7-8 hours a day working on it. It's like, it's not that important to me, you know. But anyway, the enemy, don't be ignorant of his devices. Some of the devices they're all deceptions to get you to believe something else. In Luke chapter 4, when we saw Jesus was taken into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted of Satan, every time Satan came against him with his doubt, you know, if you're the Son of God, like, I don't even know if you really are, but if you are, prove it to me. And every time Jesus came back and said, it's written, it's written. I'm not going to listen to you, Satan. And even one of them, he said, if you look, he brought him up to the pinnacle to look over, and he said, all these kingdoms, I'll give them to you. And the devil wasn't lying there because they had been handed to him by Adam. So the devil really was in control of all those kingdoms. But Jesus, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, I'm not doing that. Jesus knew who he was. He was God. He already owned all of that. Bible tells us that God owns the earth and everything therein. And he's given the responsibility over man to oversee it, but he still owns it. So I want to talk to you about, we're going to start today, because these are deceptions that many Christians have believed as truths. And I've noticed something over the last 10 years as pastoring, shepherding a flock of people. I found that mindsets are extremely difficult to change. When you've got it made up in your mind that something is so, I mean, you could tell a little child from just when they're born and raise them up, you could tell them that blue is green and they're going to believe that it's green because you've trained them that way. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. So sincerity has nothing to do with it. But there are some statements that, you know, I've observed. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. And I've grown, you know, I grew up in a church that, you know, praise God, I got saved there. But I learned some things and I had some mindsets that were not correct. But I didn't know they weren't correct. I thought they were correct. I trusted my pastor. And so I'll say this to you as a caveat, as a caution. Don't just take my word for anything that I say from this pulpit. You check it out with the book. That's a guarantee. If you can find that what I'm saying is in the Bible, then you receive it. If there's something you're not quite sure about, maybe you don't quite have the understanding, here's what I was taught, shelf it. You don't have to, you know, bolt out the doors unless I start saying that, you know, the devil's your friend and, you know, something so extreme. But because of the mindsets that you and I have grown up with, where a mindset is a set mind. It's set. Now, Ricky's way over there. He was in concrete business. And when that stuff is sloppy and everything, you can slosh it around and do whatever you want. But I tell you what, a couple days later, you're not going back with nothing but a jackhammer. And it isn't going to be sloshing around. It's set up. It's concrete. And so mindsets are very powerful. And the enemy is trying to trick people into believing things, just like he was tricking Jesus into obeying him. But Jesus didn't fall for it. And you and I can't fall for it either. And so one of the reasons I'm so big on the Word of God is because Jesus said, if you continue in it, then you're going to know the truth. And the truth that you know and apply to your life is going to set you free. You won't be trapped by the devil. See, he wants to snare you. He's got devices and he uses them. Where does he predominantly go after? He goes after everybody, all of humanity, but he goes after the ones that are Christians. And then I've observed in my life as a Christian, every time I've stepped out in faith to do something great for God, the devil's right there to try to trip me up. It gets worse and worse. He almost wants you to believe, or Satan does want you to believe, that don't even bother serving God anymore. It's too hard. I'm going to get you. But you see, we learn in the authority of the believer class that you have the authority, not Satan. So if you've got the authority is the one that has the keys. If you got a key to your ignition to your car, you've got the key. So you have the authority to use that. I can't take my key and go into your car. It's not going to work. And so we have the authority in the earth today. We have the keys today. But anyway, I don't want you to comment, because I want to take time to show you in the Word of God, by Scripture, what God says about these things. Because some of them you probably believed from growing up. I did. Like, how about this one? All things work together for good. Well, Pastor, that's in the Bible. No, it's not. That's a few words extracted out of the Bible. But that's, and we're going to take a look at that. How about God has a reason? This was a big one. God has a reason for everything that happens. Really? God has a reason for these people getting addicted to heroin? God has a reason for babies being aborted? But yet it sounds good. Well, God's got a reason, because we just don't know. How about this one? Don't you know God works in mysterious ways? Well, he does. It's totally a mystery. But you know what? As you dig in the Word, you find out he wants you to know the mystery. He wants you to know it and understand it and apply it to your life. He's not trying to hide things from you. He's hidden things for you. But if you don't know the Word, now, here's a scripture that you might want to take to heart, 2 Timothy 2:15. That says, study to show yourself approved. For the workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That would tell me, if you can rightly divide the word of truth, that means you could wrongly divide the word of truth, couldn't you? The enemy, which one do you think the devil wants you to do? Rightly divide it or wrongly divide it? He wants to trip you up. So he wants you to wrongly divide it. He wants you to believe things that God says that aren't so. Now, just this past week, I was listening to Christian radio. It's just a music station. Air One. Anybody ever heard of it? I just came onto it a couple weeks ago. And it was a catchy song, a new upbeat tune. And I was really liking it until I was listening to what the lyrics said. And some of you might have heard this song. I don't know the name of it. But one of the verses was, God, when you don't move that mountain that I want you to move, I'm just going to trust you. And that sounds good. Well, if you don't move the mountain, I'm just going to hold on and trust you. But you know that's not scriptural. That's against scripture. Because Jesus said, and we're going to look at that, maybe today, maybe not today. He said that you're supposed to speak to your mountain. How many of you graduates of the authority of the believer, did you learn that scripture? God doesn't want us coming to him crying about our situation, about our mountain. And some of us have had mountain ranges. I mean, you got lots of problems. I've had people come up in healing and miracle service and say, well, what do you want? And, well, you know, they list off 7 things they've got wrong with them, but just this one. I'll just want God to fix this one. I said, why? If God can fix this one, he can fix the other 6. Why would you want to sell? I said, I won't pray with you. And that just shocks them. I said, I'm sorry, I can't pray with you for just one. And they'll say, well, they'll just look at me like, well, that's mean. I said, no, Jesus paid for all of it. Let's receive all of it. It's no harder to receive, you know, you got back problems and you got lung problems and all sorts of problems. It's not harder for God. He created us. He's the creator. He took some dirt and dust and breathed into it and whammo, there we are. Breathe his spirit into us. Breathe life into us. And so anyway, some statements that we've heard, that I've heard over the years, maybe you've never heard them, but I've heard, you know, good part of my life, still hear it, you know, on Christian radio, Christian television. Well, don't you know that God is sovereign? Well, what does that mean? Yes, God is sovereign. He's God. I would agree with you there, but does that mean he's behind all this stuff that's going on in the earth today? That's not what it means, but, well, you know, God's sovereign. If he wanted to take care of it, he'd just take care of it. Well, if I would say to you, well, if God wants everybody saved, which he says he does in his word, why doesn't he just save everybody? Matter of fact, why didn't we just get born again and him bring us to heaven? Why go through this adventure thing called life? Why not just move us to heaven? Okay, just get you thinking. Just get you thinking. What I've come up to, and God gave me this title. So, Diana, are you here? The title of this message, and it's clearly going to go beyond today, is called No Fault Christianity. No Fault Christianity. It's not my fault. God works in mysterious ways. Not my fault. When I answered the call of God on my life, and he called me to teach, I was in a little Baptist church in Loudoun. And they had asked me to teach, and I said, no, I don't want nothing to do with teaching. And then God spoke to me and said, I've called you to teach. And so I went back the next week, and they asked me again, and I said, yes. And they said, well, pray about it. And I said, well, I've already heard, you know, I'm going to do it. The very first Sunday school lesson I had, like, my daughter was 12, so whatever grade that would be. And they gave you a Sunday school lesson book. And the very first lesson that I had to teach, the very first page, was a story about a little boy, 10, 12 years old, had a dog, and the dog got hit by a car and died. And this lesson wanted me to teach these kids that God did that. Yes, that God was behind that. Had a reason for needing the little dog up in heaven. Imagine that. And I was grieved. And as I, so now I'm looking through all the pages of this book, and it's going cross-grained with my spirit. And I didn't know a whole lot then. I just answered the call of God on my life. I didn't know what I know today. And so I was grieved, and there happened to be a woman that was another Sunday school teacher. So I knew her pretty well, so I called her up, and I said, Beth, I said, how do you handle this? I told her what it was all about, and she said, oh, I just don't teach that stuff. She says, I'll teach the good that's in the lesson, and then I'll go to the Bible, and I'll teach them that. And so I said, okay. And anyway, the story goes that I realized that not everybody believes what the Bible really teaches. And it's not because they were malicious or wanted to bring harm to people. That's probably the writer of that. Probably that's what they were taught. And that's why it's dangerous to just believe what a man or a woman says without checking it out with the Word of God. I just want to hammer that home. Check it out with the book. And so we're going to look at God's Word regarding this. It's not my fault. No fault Christianity. What does that do? That just takes all the pressure off of and all the responsibility off of you for doing anything, doesn't it? So it makes it easy Christianity, but it doesn't make it effective Christianity. It doesn't make it the truth. Like Jesus said, if you continue in my word, what if you don't continue in his word? You don't know the truth. Jesus said in Hosea 4:6 that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Some of you know your Bibles. Destroyed. Not just tripped up, not just messed up. Destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Well, where do you get the knowledge? In the book. You see how easy Christianity is? If you do what God says and do it his way, you get the blessings. Now, over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm probably getting a little ahead of myself, he said, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And then he said, you choose. You choose life. He gave you the answer. I don't know about you, but I wished I had more teachers like that when I was growing up in school, where the teacher would just give you the answers and then pass you, and, you know, that would just save you from doing homework and stuff if they just gave you the answers. But God was giving you the answer of choosing life. You still have to choose what's in the book. You have to choose healing. See, I grew up not knowing that God, I didn't know if he wanted to. I grew up with the mindset, get this, my mind was set that if God wanted to heal, he would. And if God didn't want to heal, he wouldn't. That sometimes he just says no to you. I believe that for many years because I was taught that. That you just don't know. Well, all these years later, I do know. I do know. I know what the book says. I know the book says, whose report will you believe? Isaiah 53:1. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. By the stripes he bore, I was healed. Again, in 1 Peter in the New Testament, if you don't like the Old Testament shows us what Isaiah was just prophesying that. That hadn't happened yet, but it has now. See, we can enjoy the benefits, the privileges of receiving healing because of who we are in Christ and because we receive it. But we have to have the knowledge of it first. That's why when we do healing and miracle services, most of the time, I don't say all the time, most of the time I will teach from the Word because the Word already has the power in it to perform what it says it will do. So you can't go wrong when you, if the gift of miracles doesn't show up, and I covet that gift every single day. What is that? That's where miracles happen and you instantly get your healing, you instantly get your breakthrough. Everything is instant. I like that. I don't like seeing somebody have to leave and they're not 100% better. So when the Holy Spirit doesn't allow that, or for whatever reason, I don't know, that gift isn't operating, we can know the Word works 100% of the time. And so we go to the Word. And we find the truth of the Word, and we apply it, just like Mary did when she heard from the angel Gabriel. Now, it wasn't Gabriel's word. He brought the word from who? From God. Yes, yes. And you go, boy. And so she conceived in her heart. She said, let it be done unto me. Let it be done unto me. What if Mary had said, I don't think so. You have to go find somebody else. Yeah, Martha could have been Jesus' mother. Whoa! But Mary believed it, she received it, and bam, there's a miracle right there. Same thing when we need to receive of God, we have to believe it, because God said, this is so bold of Him, all things are possible to him who goes to church, carries a Bible, occasionally prays and reads Scripture. No, you have to believe. And then all things are possible. No doubting. That's what Jesus taught us over in Mark 11. After he showed a demonstration of operating in faith, when he spoke to a tree. Verse 22, Mark 11. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And then you speak to it. And we're going to look at that, not today, but we'll look at that as we go on. So I want to, in light of God's word, I want God to answer these statements, these things that we've heard over the years and believe. I mean, has anybody ever heard any of these? You have. And do you know people today that still believe them? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we need an understanding of where they're answered in the Bible so we can bring hope to somebody else that's been tricked by the devil into believing that, well, you just never know. Sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he'll heal them off heroin, sometimes he won't. Sometimes he'll save them, sometimes he won't. That one usually gets most traditional Christian people. Well, wait a minute. Don't mess with getting saved. You know that it's God's will that everybody be saved. Yes, it is. It's God's will everybody be healed. And I said this last week, never said it before, had just heard it recently. Jesus paid for your healing before he paid for your salvation, before he paid for your sins. He went to the whipping post before he went to the cross. I'd never thought of that before. That's how much he loves you. He stopped over here to get whipped and beat and horrifically abused before he went and carried the cross and then was nailed to it. You are the blessed. Well, that's where we're going. And I wrote down this on that little piece of paper. What's my responsibility? What's my responsibility? And the Lord spoke to me when I said that yesterday. I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. What's my responsibility? What's my response to my ability? God has put abilities in each and every one of us. What's our response to it? Our response to the enemy is to do what? Tell him no. James 4:7, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil. You have to say no. Resist means say no to the devil. And then he'll do what? He'll flee. What if you don't resist? He stays. See how easy Christianity is? God made it easy. You do what he says and you get the benefits. If you don't, you're opening the door for Satan to have his way in your life. And if you give him an inch, he'll take 47 miles. He don't play fair. He want his job description. Anybody ever gone to apply for a job and, you know, the job description for Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's... And I'm going to end on this. Satan does not share an office with God. They don't share the same office. You know, God's desk's over here and Satan's desk is over here. They don't share an office. They don't work for one another. Had you ever thought of that? Because sometimes the mindsets we've grown up to know, it's almost like, well, you know, God and the devil are working together. You know, if we need some bad things to happen here, well, God just calls up the devil. We need some stuff over here. You know, come bring some sickness. Come bring some calamity. Come bring some drug abuse. No, God's not working with the devil. He doesn't pay the devil to do stuff. The devil is a fallen angel. And he got booted. And his backhand still hurts from being booted. And that's probably why he's so mad. And he doesn't like us because we're God's creation. And so he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But we're here to tell him no. We're here to enforce that. We're here to push back the darkness of the Lakes Region area. And then greater, as we grow, we'll reach greater areas. We'll reach the state of New Hampshire. You know, this is just year 9, or coming into year 10. We're just a baby church, but we got the big Holy Ghost. I mean, there's no junior Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost in our kids' classes right now that's here. It's not baby junior Holy Ghost. And so just because we're not huge numbers, we're not thousands of strong, I'd rather be smaller with knowing that I have the authority. I know I have the power. I know I have the ability and the might to run the devil out of my life and out of your life. And I encourage you, as you're learning, as, you know, people come in and they're at different areas of learning, you know, you can call me. If you're struggling with something, call me. I'll be happy to talk with you. I'm happy to show you where it says it in the Word. I'm not just going to say, thus says John. No, it's what does God say? My opinion about it means nothing. See, I got over myself a long time ago. I don't care what people think. I'm on a mission for God to teach and preach the Word of God, to bring the truth to people, to see them be set free. And that's a great honor for me to be called to do that. Now, what God's called you to do should be a great honor for what you do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand with me? We do have hot coffee on, right? Please. Somebody said, please. Save me a cup. Well, let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful time before you, worshiping you, thanking you. Father, as we start this new year, I pray that we'd start it out with you, that we'd continue through it with you, and finish strong with you. Father, I pray that each one of us would continue to grow in the knowledge of the Word, that we'd have ears to hear, hearts to receive, and know and understand what your will and purpose is for our lives. Father, we thank you for the anointing, the power on the Word today. You said in Matthew that you'd confirm the Word with signs following. So, Father, we believe and receive miracles, signs, and wonders at the preaching and the teaching of your Word today. Father, I speak a benediction, a blessing over the people here today for coming out on this cold morning. Father, I pray that the warmth of Jesus Christ would be warming their hearts, warming their cars and their vehicles. I thank you, Lord. We bless you, we love you, and we thank you for all you've done here this morning in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you can shout amen. Well, we do love you, and stick around and have fellowship.